Morning, church. Great to be with you. This is my first time here. I was here a couple of weeks ago, and when Tina was speaking on life to the full, which was great. If you didn't get it, listen to it on the podcast. I went well, went away feeling like, come on. A bit about me. I'm over 40. I know I don't look it, but I am. I've been a Christian now since I was 16 years old and had a really powerful encounter with Jesus, which totally changed my outlook on life, and I'll tell you about that over a coffee maybe sometime. And I've always been sort of a bit bivocational, a bit sort of foot in both worlds, if you like. Not that there is two, but you know what I mean. Sort of working, I've normally been in business, a bit entrepreneurial. And then the other, in ministry, I've always had a desire to preach the word since I got saved. I'm like, everyone needs to know about this. Everybody needs to know about Jesus. And I hope that gets an amen. Now, I'm a little bit, I've got a little bit of ADHD, just to let you know, right out the back, I think that's fair. I think it's fair that you know that when I sort of, oh, there's a squirrel, that's just me, that's what I'll do. And if I sort of go off down a rabbit warren and I start looking confused, I am. I have totally lost my place, and I'll mumble and fumble my way back, hopefully, for the sake of us all, back to some sort of notes and some sort of message. But this morning, I thought I'd take us on a little bit of an adventure, a little bit of a journey to think, what if? Now, I haven't got it on me. I've got it in digital form. But this is the story of God and his people, right? Well, kind of. It's certainly some of it, at least. In John 21, so at the end of John's gospel, actually what John makes the point of is that it's not all of it. He says this, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have enough room for all the books that would be written. So what we know is actually this is just a snippet. This is just a snippet. This, if you like, is incomplete in some ways. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not faulty. It is certainly not inadequate. But it's also not exhaustive. And I like to think that that is because God doesn't want to over-cram our and try and fill our every idea and possibility. Instead, he leaves some blank, some space. It's a revelation of God, but it isn't every, it's for us to explore and get to know him better. Jesus did many, many things that are written and recorded in the Bible, which are amazing. But more things aren't recorded. Just think about that for a second. More things aren't recorded. How cool is that? There is loads more cool, amazing stuff that Jesus and his followers did that isn't there. I believe the reason John points this out is to make sure and underline, underscore, and remind us that there is more. And that God is daring us to dream, what if? The Bible's not exhaustive, so we can fill the space with our own story of what God is doing in and through us and through the church. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but the more that's written, the more I think I know. The more I think I've got it nailed. And I think that God just wants to get away from that a little bit. I think that's why Jesus never wrote an autobiography. Because sometimes I'm like, why don't you just write down yourself? You know, you had probably some spare time in and amongst all those miracles. Somewhere up a mountain, maybe just scribble a few lines. It'd be really helpful right now. You know, just to tell me exactly what to do with this next decision I've got to make about my next job. If you could have just written that down a couple of thousand years ago, that would have been great. But he didn't. He leaves the space for us to fill in the what ifs. Now, that means whatever challenges you're facing, whatever things are happening in your world, you don't have to have a verse. You just need to know a God. You don't have to have the specifics. You do have to have a principle, sure. But you don't have to have a line by line, play by play. You can start to think, what if? What if in this challenge I'm facing, what if God? Where I need a miracle in my family, what if God? And we're going to have a look at some people who did just that. I'm going to break this, don't do that, Joss. Okay, right, so there's this guy in the Bible, Old Testament, a guy called Joshua. We're going to have a jump into Joshua 10. If you've got your Bibles, you can look there, it's still on the screen though, so don't worry about it. And it's Joshua 10, and Joshua's basically been roaming around the promised land, beating people up. Like, under God's instruction, they've been taking the land, and this promised land is then being claimed as theirs. And there's all these cities with weird and wonderful names, and rulers with even more weird and wonderful names. And we jump in to Joshua 10, verse 12 to 14. And he's fighting against the Amorites. Anyone with an ites at the end of their name in the Bible is normally a bad guy, okay? Philistines, anyone else, but ites, generally bad. Anyway, so Amorites, they're against the Israelites. And so we say, with this in verse 12, it says, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it's written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for about a full day. There has never been a day like it, before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Woo! What a story, eh? Now, I know you've probably got some miracles in your life. I hope you do. Have some stories, some faith stories. But it's a big one, isn't it? I mean, you know, stopping the sun. That's right up there, right? Stopped the sun. This had never happened before. So how did Joshua know God would do it? He didn't have a verse. He didn't have a pretext to, oh, this is the thing that God always does. This is the way he'll do this. He just knew God. He just knew that God was bigger. He just had faith in God's ability. He just knew that God was about the miraculous. Joshua understood the nature of God, that he is infinite and powerful. The challenge for us is we can have a theology bit, but sometimes we don't have the faith. You can build theology on verses, but sometimes you need to step in between the verses and have faith for what can God do in this space. It's not written, but what can he do here? What if? He makes himself vulnerable. He just shouts at the sky. Here's a few things. He didn't hear from God, right? He didn't have some angelic visitation. You know, the whole angels river dancing at the end of his bed in the morning. This is what you got to do. He didn't have three independent witnesses come and give him a verse that week. Do you know what? I was thinking this and I was listening to UCB and Joyce Meyer said, that's one. And then I was walking through this and then somebody sent me a text, that's a second. He didn't have the three. Now, they're all good things. Don't get me wrong, right? They're all good things. But he didn't have any of those. And I tell you what he certainly didn't have. He certainly didn't have a verse. Right? He didn't have one. He had a mission. He had a mission that he'd been given by God, and he just believed God to fill in the blanks and thought, what if? I don't want to come back and fight these guys tomorrow. What if we can just make today last a little bit longer and finish the job? Right? I don't know about you, but when it comes to the things of the enemy, I don't really want to sort of like lay down my weapons and come back tomorrow. I want to see him finished off that day. The devil's work, I don't want to give it to tomorrow. I want it finished today, right? And so we need a what if. We need a what if. So did God stop the sun? No. He went one better. Think about it. The sun ain't moving. God stopped the world spinning. How many times have you read that and gone, yeah, God stopped the sun? God stopped the sun, but he didn't. You see, he took Joshua's great idea, his what if, and was like, you know what, son, I can do that. I'm not going to do it that way because you don't know that actually you're spinning and the sun's standing still, but it doesn't matter. I'll make it happen. You don't need to know all the answers. We don't even need to have the A to Z. We don't need to have every single thing planned out. We just need to be able to step out in faith saying, God, what if, and let him supply. And Joshua did that. He didn't know all the answers. We don't have to be all-knowing. We do have to be faithful. Right? We don't have to know everything. And if you're relying on this to know everything, you already have just been told it's not all in there. You have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so, that verse, it says, the Lord listened to a man. Friends, God listens to you. He listens to us. I can just see the heavenlies with God there cheering him on, going, well, come on, you can do this, guys. And then suddenly Joshua starts yelling at the sun. And God's like, what? Wait a minute, what did you say? Okay, well, I'm not going to do it that way, but high five, you're on. Let's do this thing. He loves getting involved in the plans and the schemes of us to bring about his higher purpose. He declares it and then acts. God sets the mission, but he joined in Joshua's plan. God has given us a mission, right? He has commissioned us, but he is joining in our plan to get it done. You see, God created the world. He gave us the mission to rule, to reign, to multiply and to fill the earth, to subdue it. We've got the multiplying down, you know. I think that's because that's the fun bit. But anyway, the rest of it, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, we need to work on how we're doing the ruling, the reigning. And really, he hasn't given us a play-by-play. He's just said, you do it. Our job is to make the world reflect him. Our job is to make the world reflect the goodness of God. And he's like, crack on. And we've got a dream. What if? How do we do this? Not convinced? Let's have a look. Another book, another story, another example of this same idea. We're going to fast forward into the New Testament. And there was a lady. Now, you probably know this story if you've been a Christian a while, or you've been in around church a while. You'll probably know the story. It was a lady who was in a place where she was bleeding. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, like women's problems type bleeding. She'd like been menstruating almost for 12 years. Anyway, she was in a bad way. She'd been to see lots of different doctors. And in the Bible, it says that and she'd suffered at the hands of some of these doctors. So it obviously wasn't always a positive encounter. Now, I'm a bloke, so clearly I don't know exactly what this would feel like, but I do know enough to know that this would probably be pretty bad and uncomfortable, that it would be not a good position to be in. Without any of the sort of modern sanitary products or anything else, in a time and a place where she would have been seen as impure and dirty. In fact, where it was actually illegal, it was outlawed to touch her. We probably can then deduce that she maybe wouldn't have had a husband, or she might have lost a husband or whatever, because he would have been classed as dirty too. And so for 12 years, she'd probably gone without almost any human contact. No one to touch or reassure her. No one to lay a hand on her shoulder. She was in a pretty, pretty bad way. And it says that she tried everything. She went all over trying to get this thing sorted. But then she hears about a man. She hears about a man named Jesus. Maybe he's the Messiah. That's the whispers. That's the rumors. He's a healer. He's been healing people. She's heard the stories. He lays his hands on the sick and they recover. But then she has an idea. What if? What if I can just get in touch with him? Never been done before. You see, she couldn't ask a rabbi to touch her. She was impure. But she thought, what if? What if I can just get to touch even just the edge of his clothing? What if? She was ashamed. She had experience of setbacks and a constant eroding of hope. You ever felt like that? I know every single person in this room has, because you're all human, hopefully. You've had experiences of letdown. You've had experiences where you've been to see another thing or another person and that fail. You've had time when there's been, it feels like forever, 12 years, maybe more of setback. And this is why these stories are included in the Bible. To remind us that despite years of eroding hope, we can dare to think, what if? What if God? Like Joshua, nobody gave her verse or nobody gave her instruction. She was just brave enough to have faith and think, what if? And she's just like me and you, right? Just like me and you. I think sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, I kind of like try and put myself in their place and try and think, what was it like? And normally I'm like, oh, these guys are all super heroes of faith. They just, you know, they never had any doubting. She was just like, yeah, I'm just off to get my healing. Just walking down. No, probably not like that. In fact, actually, I was listening to this. This is going to give you a sad insight into my life. I sort of had a vision of like, what was she like? And this is what was my first thought in my mind was this. This might not work. And the sound guys might get really upset, but we'll see. I'll wait to see Jesus. No. Probably not. Because she, my friends, is just like us. She is dealing with the inner angst, the worry, the concern, the what. Oh no, this isn't going to go right. I've got a million reasons why this isn't going to happen. But I'm still going to keep walking in faith. Her inner monologue was more like this one. Just looking at the crowd. He's at the other end of this. I've got to get through it all. Trepidation. How am I going to get there? Is it going to work? What if he rebukes me? What if the people start spitting and hurling insults because I shouldn't be there? This is what's going on in her mind when she's also fighting through with the what if. What if? And I know every single person in this room is the same. I know every time you get an idea of what if God just, there's another voice that goes, nah. It's been 12 years. You've tried this before. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. You've tried before. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. What if? What if God? And so she starts to fight her way through the crowd. Again, I'm imagining in the Hebrews it says that there's a heavenly host that are watching us and cheering us on, the prophets. And those that have gone before. And I can just see God saying, come, look, 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 this is my daughter. Look at her. Just watch her go as she's fighting. She's pulling her way through the crowd. She can see Jesus. She can't quite get to him. And she's pulling people out the way. She just thinks, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she reaches out and she's still thinking, I don't know if this is going to work, but what if? What if? And she touches him, boom. Not a boom, wasn't Marvel. But in spiritual senses, boom! She's healed. I say boom because Jesus felt the power go out of him. Wow. Theologically, that's a pretty crazy thing to think about, so I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, he felt it. And he's like, who did it? Who touched me? What happened? Again, theologically, let's not go there too much. But anyway, he's still like, what's going on? Because it was her idea. Her what if? He didn't come to her. He didn't lay his hands on her. She went and reached out to God. She knew who he was. She knew his character. She knew what he was about. And so she dared to think, what if? Testimonies like this lie on the other side of tests. Breakthrough lies on the other side of something that seems impassable. This crowd, this illness, these problems, the guilt, the shame, the law. And yet, on the other side of that, what if God? Are you with me? You may feel your background disqualifies you, your history disqualifies you. But friends, none of that's true. We serve a what if God, and you put your bit in the middle of there and see God make the difference. You see, on the flip side of every miracle, most miracles, you'll usually see a person who dared to dream what if, who dared to ask that question. Because God, for whatever reason, decides to ground his miraculous through, normally, through people, through us. That's how he earths it. People who think, what if? Final thing, how am I doing on time? It's all right, I've got loads of time, apparently. Anyway, so the final story. Final story. Five? Peter. We know the story of Peter in the boat, but I'm going to jump a little further back, just give you the background. So Jesus is, we're fast forward another little bit of time here, in the ministry and the life of Jesus. He's just fed the 5,000. People heard of that story? He's fed the 5,000. It's actually been a pretty rough day for Jesus. Not that we need to get into that, but he's just heard that he's lost his cousin, John the Baptist, and yet he's still there ministering to people and serving people, feeding people. And then at the end of it all, he says, right, you guys, to this disciple, he said, okay, you guys, you need to get off and get to the other side of the sea. So jump in the boats and head off. I'm just going to finish things up here, dismiss the people. And then he goes up this mountain to pray, it says in the Bible. And it's in Matthew 14. Well, it's in all the Gospels, all the Synoptics. But we're going to join in Matthew 14. And then it says this. After he finished praying, it says, during the fourth watch of the night, Matthew 14, verses 25, 29. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, as you do, that's like, it's just so casual. Anyway, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost! They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter says, tell me to come out on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out on the boat and walked on water and came towards Jesus. Jesus had this great idea of what would be recorded in the Bible of a miracle, and so he asked Peter to get out the boat. Nope. Jesus never muttered a word about it. Whose idea was it? Peter's idea. You see, if I... now, just 100% confession... I wouldn't have been this guy. I love Peter. He's like my hero. But I would have been like probably with all the rest of the disciples and probably most of us who'd been sat in the boat thinking, well, you know, we've heard already it's a storm. They're pushing against the wind and not getting anywhere. I'm like, it's already happened. He's already calmed a storm before. So if we can do that one again, Jesus, then game on. Brilliant. We'll all get over there in time for supper. Because, again, he can do it the same thing again. The bits that are in. But you see, Peter was like, what if he can do something else? What if there's more? What if I can get out of the boat with him? Friends, that's why it's not all here. The what ifs, the gaps. So us go, what if God can break through into my community? What if God can see every single person in every single house in my street saved? You don't need a verse, but you do need a what if. And so Peter says to Jesus, I want to get out. I want to come out. I want to walk on water. And he did. Oh dear. My notes are completely closed. It's all right. We don't need them. And he did, and he walked on water. He's the only guy to ever walk on water that we know about. Again, maybe loads of people did it, just not written. But like Joshua, like the woman, he wasn't given a pretext to this. He wasn't given an instruction to do this. He wasn't waiting for some sort of invitation. He just invited God in to his life for a miracle. Peter said, what if... Church, I'd love us to be a group of people that asked,
What if?
What if my university could be transformed? What if we could see an end to poverty in Nottingham? What if there was nobody going to sleep tonight in Arnold hungry? What if? What if I can have that baby that I've been dreaming of that I've not managed to conceive yet? What if I can see my son, my daughter, come to faith who's far away from God right now? What if? Friends, we need to invite God into our what ifs. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it's a really well-known verse, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. He's able to do more than we can ask. Everything we can ask for, he can do more than. We just need to get on with asking. We need to ask the what if and get on asking and making our requests. We need to start shouting at some immovable objects. Don't need to know all the answers. God can fill in the blanks. If we shout at the sun and tell it to stop, and it's already stopped, and God needs to stop this world from spinning, he'll do just that. What seems to be impossible in your world? Where do you need the sun to stand still? Where as a church have you got hopes, dreams, and promises, prophecies, where you haven't seen them come to pass, you haven't seen them come to fruition, and you need to keep asking what if? That you need to start inviting God into your plan as a church, because you've already got the mission. Hear me right on this. He's our Father. He's given us the task. He's set us about the family business. How we do it, he's like, go for it, and I'll get in on your plan. That's why he's given us the tools. That's why he's given us the Spirit. The Spirit lives in us. He's already said, go lay hands on the sick. You don't need an instruction to do it. Just go do it. Go see people delivered from demonic spirits. You don't need a verse. There is a verse, but you don't need any extra. It's just go do it. The what ifs, how do we do it, is up to us. And God wouldn't ever leave you hanging. He didn't leave Joshua hanging. He healed the woman. And even when Peter started to look around and take his eyes off Jesus and started to sink a bit, Jesus grabbed him straight away. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He won't leave you hanging. Those who put the trust in the Lord, he will never put to shame. I can't remember whether it says that. It says the same sort of idea, actually, all of the Bible, actually, but it's a truism. He's commissioned us to see the kingdom grow. And he is eager in anticipation for us to ask, what if? How do we do it? What if God does this? What if God does that? Can I invite you just to close your eyes? John's just going to come and join me. Lord, as we think about our own lives, we think about those immovable objects, incurable diseases, decades of setback, hurt and hope deferred and eroded. Places where there's hurt, pain, and as I said, hope deferred. Lord, help us to dream what if, to inject your power into that situation with the authority that you've already given us. What if God brings a miracle? In this church, what if God wants to see all of Arnold saved as a network? What if he wants to have a life-giving, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church in every postcode in this city? What if?